Christian life, things that we all need to be grounded in, and sometimes we need to be regrounded, because kind of like the lanai out there, poles sometimes get loose, and so we need to reground them. Again, another reason why we're here this morning, to ground ourselves in the things of God's Word. Well, we're looking at the Bible as the foundation of our beliefs and the guidebook of our lives. Now, you may remember that Moses said some things very much like what Paul said. He talked about how the Bible was their life, the Word of God, the law of God, which really was all they had then. He said, it is your life. It is your life. In other words, your life depends upon this Word. So let us look at what another great leader, Paul, says by inspiration about God's Word, the Bible. First of all, it says it right there in the text, that the Scripture is inspired. All Scripture, it says, is inspired by God and is profitable. So I want us to just think about that for a moment, what Paul is saying, what God's Spirit is saying to us about that. First of all, I want to suggest that there's a unified inspiration in the Bible. The Bible is a unified inspiration. Now, we who are familiar with the Bible know that it's a collection, really, of books. It has letters, correspondence, in the New Testament especially. There's some even in the Old Testament. There are poetic writings, such as the Psalms. There are certainly historical books. Five books of Moses are mainly historical books. The book of Acts in the New Testament, the Gospels, certainly. But it all is tied together in one book. It's why we have really one book that we call the Bible. It can be called the Book of Books, and has been called the Book of Books, because it's really a library of books. But it has a unified theme, a unified purpose, a one God who inspired it all. You may remember Jesus, after his resurrection, as he walked to Emmaus, he talked to two disciples who Jesus joined with them on the road to Emmaus. And the Bible says he showed them in all the scriptures the things pertaining to himself. So if you're looking for a theme, it's really Christ. Christ in the Old Testament as well as Christ in the New. There's so many wonderful prophecies that just when I read them, like Psalm 22, for example, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. And here is a picture beforehand of Christ on the cross. Isaiah 53, another example. But all through the Old Testament, we find this common theme. It is a unified book because it was written under this inspiration of God. Inspiration, incidentally, means breathed out. Some translations actually translate it that way. Our old word inspiration really means that, but I think we lose that meaning because maybe we don't understand that aspect of it. But it means that by the out-breathing of God is the word. And like when we speak, I mean, if you hold your hand before your mouth, sometimes we need to put our hands, you know, right against our mouth. But you'll feel that breath. It's really what that means, that it's by the out-breathing of the will of God. So it's unified, it's unique. Inspired by God means breathed out by God. We use inspired, though, in a very loose way. We talk about, it was an inspired play that we saw, or movie, we use it in a really loose way. So I think we've lost the main meaning of that term, which, again, gets back to the speaking out of the Word of God. Now, I know some would object and say, well, is the Bible really the Word of God, or does it just contain the Word of God? And so there's been this controversy over the years and centuries even. What really constitutes the Word of God? Are we in the position where we can say, well, this is, you know, the Word of God and this isn't the Word of God? I don't think that's a wise thing to do. The Bible says all, and it says right here, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's useful. And it says it is profitable here in this translation. It just means that if you want to find something that will help you, enable you to be the person that you were meant to be in this life, the very reason why you are here, then look into the Bible. It's like the guidebook that God sent to be to accompany this creation that he made, which is you and me. So think of that when you begin your day. Would you begin a day, or would you, operate a complex piece of equipment or electronic device or something without reading the directions? Now, I know some do that. So as soon as I said that, there are those who have such an intuitive grasp of technology that they throw the book out the first time they buy something. And they say, well, I already know that. Well, we know what those people are, right? The Bible has a word for it. It's ignoramus. Fool is another more biblical term. So do we want to be fools, or do we want to be wise? If we want to be wise, again, Paul is writing this to a young man who was beginning his Christian life. It doesn't have to be a man, of course, a young man, a young woman. It could be anyone. It would happen to be a young man, of course, Timothy. Then let's begin reading the Bible, studying the Bible, getting this book into our lives. We have so many privileges today that people in the past didn't have. I've often thought of even Jesus, who inspired the Bible. It did not have a copy of the Bible like we have today. Now, he had it up here in his heart. I mean, he was God. But we have so many privileges. We have so many translations. I mean, we're really spoiled, I think, in America today by having all of these different translations of the Bible, different ways to help us to understand the Bible. We have one-year Bibles where the readings are all organized by the day of the year. So really, God is making it as easy for us as he can to get this word into our lives. May we take advantage of that. So we can learn from the inspiration of the Bible in these verses here. We can also learn from the education that God has provided by the Bible. Now, I'm sure you know that in the early years of our nation, the Bible was really the textbook in the schools of our nation, kind of going way, way back, before my time even, when I grew up. I can't say that that was true. I can't say that it's been true in any of our memory, unless you were fortunate to perhaps go to a Christian school. But in the beginning, it was that way. And wherever the Bible has gone, it has just given this impetus toward knowledge, gaining knowledge, being able to read, and wanting to read. Wherever our missionaries have gone, this is what has followed, a desire to read the Bible, to understand it, and to certainly read other things, history, for example, and science, true science, those things that God has put in His universe that we, for our learning, but nothing substitutes for the Bible. It's the only book that says it is the Word of God. It is without error. Here it says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And we need it for our education. Paul had told Timothy to study to show himself approved unto God. And that was back in chapter 2, verse 15. And so now he's giving what really is the basis of that education. It's instructive, the Bible is. You may be familiar with the term didactic. You probably are, but you might be. It just means teaching. Do we want to be instructed? Now, I know people think, well, it's not going to give me a degree, so why do I bother? Well, it's much more important than a degree. There are degrees, frankly, that are in eternity's values are of very little value. But this is a value that's not, this is a degree, if you will, a value not just for this life, but for eternity. So it's instructive, the Bible is. Do you remember Jesus when he went around teaching? The Bible says teaching and preaching and healing. So he really ministered to the whole person. The need for people to be encouraged, to be brought closer to God and to His will for their lives, and then to teach them the truths of God's Word, and then to minister to the physical needs as well. He wants us to be whole people, not necessarily healed all the time, but to just have His hand of blessing upon us so that we can fulfill that purpose for which He has created us. Persuasive. Again, He says, for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness. It is a persuasive word. It persuades us to repent, which really means to turn around and face the other direction and walk in the other direction even. What we need in our lives. We need that correction. We need that course correction. Otherwise, we're going to be lost at sea. I was an old Navy man, or I was a young Navy man when I was in, but I'm an old ex-Navy man now, I guess you could call me. But I realized how I was a radarman, and I plotted a lot of courses for the ship. But I knew how important that was, to be headed in the right direction, because otherwise you could be lost at sea. Well, that's really a parable of this life. There are people who abandon this chart and compass for their life, that God has created to be the chart and compass for our lives. It's corrective. That word for correction, I think it says there, is the word, it's actually a compound word, and the first part of it is ortho. Now you may be familiar with terms like orthopedic, which means really literally to straighten the foot. And you know, we need to be straightened. Otherwise we'll be crooked. We will not be the people that God wants us to be, to follow along that path that God has marked out for us. It's formative. Now, Paul spoke to Timothy here, and he called him back. In the verses before this, you'll read how he called him back to be like to fulfill that teaching that he had as a child in the things of God's Word. How wonderful is the teacher who senses his calling, his or her calling to be a teacher of children. That's where it must begin. It's why God has put children in our homes, usually. That we might train them up in the things of the Lord. And the Bible says that when we do that, when he is old, he will not depart from it. A promise of God's word. I hope this makes sense to you. Education. You want to be educated? Are you wanting to get a PhD in this world's economy? Or do you want to be wise? Now, I'm not suggesting that you can only choose one of those two things. You can be wise and be a PhD, but there are many PhDs, frankly, who are not wise. And I would rather be a wise, a non-PhD than a foolish PhD. I'm sure you would agree. And there may be a PhD here this morning. But that's not really what we are seeking in this life, I hope. Read the book of Proverbs. It tells you what in God's economy, or who in God's economy, is the wise person. Well, education, application. Application means that we don't just hear it and it just goes out the other side, the other portal in our head. I've certainly done that many times. I've sat in classes where I wondered if I learned anything. I'm sure the teacher wondered even more. Because I wasn't really listening, I wasn't really thinking, well, this is useful. I can't wait to get home to try out this new knowledge that I have. So, applying. The Bible says that the person who hears but does not do is really a fool. So we must do what God's word tells us. It's application. That's what that is. And that's what I mean by that. Applying it to our lives. There's a spiritual aspect to that application because he says that the man of God may be perfect. Now, Paul was writing to a young man. Now, I think you will understand that, I hope that you will, that in the Bible, where, for example, it speaks of brothers, the King James Version uses the term brethren, and usually preachers would point out the fact that brethren includes sister. In other words, it's not just men, but women. They're brothers and sisters. I think we could understand that here, that the person who wants to be godly may be complete, equipped for every good work. So spiritual. Remember, Paul was writing here to a young man who was just beginning his life really for the Lord. He had just begun this pilgrimage. We don't know how long he was a Christian believer, but probably not very long, a few years at the most. But he was just beginning this spiritual pilgrimage of his life. And so he encourages him to be complete, equipped for every good work. Getting back to that idea of the degree, it's really what degrees are for, to equip you for some area of work or service. But here is an equipment that you must not be without, because it is the Word of God. If it is the Word of God, I would encourage you to find out for yourself if you're not sure about that. Begin reading the Bible, and I think as you read, God will impress things upon you to such a degree that, like me, it'll just hit you like a ton of bricks. You'll realize that, well, this can't be just the word of people, you know, writing down their opinions, but this has to be the Word of God. Affection. Complete. It says here that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. If the word there means to be fitted, complete, perfect, having reference apparently to special aptitude for given uses. So it just means that everything that we need in the Christian life is in the Bible. Now, I'm not suggesting that we should throw, you know, history books out the window. Or, you know, we should not study mathematics, that we should not study science. Now, when I say science, I don't mean evolution necessarily. That's more of a philosophy. I was a philosophy major, if you'll believe that. You know, philosophy, in my opinion, is just kind of people pooling their ignorances, frankly. There is nothing that you can say with certainty unless you believe, as I do, that this Bible is the bedrock of certainty. I've studied it for many years, and I can't say that there aren't passages that I haven't puzzled over, that I haven't prayed about, that I haven't sought understanding. But I just believe that it is a harmonious whole that God has given to me to be a guidebook for my life. It's practical, equipped for every good work, Paul said to Timothy. In the Navy, we had the Blue Jackets Manual. I think I still have that somewhere. I'm not sure. But we've moved so many times that it could be somewhere between here and Ohio. I mean, it's somewhere in between. Probably not in the ocean, but somewhere I left that, I think. But I can still see it. I might have it here. I don't know. Marlene would know. But it was a book about the size of the Bible. And I was told in boot camp that, you know, you need to study that because it could mean your life. I mean, it could mean the difference of you going overboard or worse and being safe and being useful and being equipped with the knowledge that you need of shipboard life. I love the Navy until they put me on a ship. But then that was when I really realized how important that Blue Jacket Manual was. I mean, it didn't mean much to me when I was on the shore and had a nice room to, you know, come home to, that little cubicle there. But I think you understand what I'm saying here about the Bible, that it's practical. God sometimes throws us out there on the oceans of life in order that we might realize how much we need this book. So I want to encourage you to begin reading it. You can use a Bible like I do. I'll even get one for you if you can't find one or afford one. They're not very expensive. But it'll take you through the Bible in a year. There are many wonderful ways to get this Bible into our lives. And I just want to encourage us, as we're thinking about fine foundations, last week we talked about salvation. So really, salvation, I think it's important to make sure that we are saved, that we know Jesus Christ is our Savior. And then how we grow is that we read His Word. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Thank you.